Labor Day Conference 2005 with Brother Titus Chu in Cleveland, Ohio. Our Divine Commitment According to God's Eternal Purpose. Message 1.
Isn't it marvelous? A local church should only care and exhibit Christ.
Amen.
Well, we have a conference here for 5 meetings, and we prepared 4 messages as outlined. The message 2 is very long, so it may need 2 meetings. However, this morning, I walk into the meeting. My feeling is, how about let's spend some time, maybe the whole meeting, and we don't cover the outline. And let us look at where are we today in compare with the apostles' time. The church life come up easy, and the church life can become prevailing. Then at the same time, the church life can degrade very easy and very fast. If you would consider the book in the New Testament, the apostles, their writings, and their work, you will be so surprised. It only takes less than 60 years for the churches to degrade to a point that they almost having no more Christ, no more reality, no more church life, no more, and there is a frustration with many co-workers declaring their authenticity or authority, declaring their legality, and many co-workers working in many churches and in different ways with different teachings. Eventually, the churches become very, very degraded. If you would consider, it takes them only less than 50 years. If the Apostle Paul was saved in AD 35 and was arrested in AD 60, so you realize there were only 25 years in between. Is my mistake right? 35 to 60, how many years? It's only 25 years. It takes 10 years for the apostle to be educated. So he really labored only with his physical endeavoring, only 10 to 15 years. Now, in such a short time, he raised up many churches. At the same time, the apostle Peter, with the other 11 apostles, endeavored, labored in Judea, then spreading out. Peter was in Middle East, am I right? When he wrote the book of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, he was in Baghdad, today's Baghdad, that is in Babylon. Then when other apostles went, some went to India, some went to Africa, at that time there was a great, strong work of the Spirit, work of the Lord, but not so long. In AD 60, Paul was arrested. Around AD 70, both the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and James, the brother of Jesus Christ, the Bible also called him an apostle. They all martyred about the same time. Then there is a vacant about 10, 15 years. In these 10, 15 years, very few people know what has happened until the Lord again appeared to the Apostle John, right? That's where he wrote Revelations. Then right after that, he was released. He went to Ephesus. He located himself in one of the church the Apostle Paul raised up and began to work and labor in Ephesus as an elder. Then he wrote very, very beautiful and sweet epistles, which is actually the conclusion of the Bible. In the epistles of John, you see what? There's no work. There's no teaching. There's no theology. There's nothing that is attractive. In the epistle of John, you only see the subjective experience of Christ. Then he handled the local church, he also handled individual sins. To the individual sins, he said in a very simple way, you need to confess your sin. You are sinful, and everyone's sinful. As long as we are one of the human beings, we were born in sin, grew up in sin, in the environment of sin. So a Christian must be specialized or knowing how to be before the Lord by confessing our sins. And they made such a sweet statement. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you have committed. But if you confess your sin, God is faithful. God is righteousness. He will forgive your sins. Right? And what? Somewhat. Now, cleanse you from all your iniquities or unrighteousness. Then secondly, to the individuals, he said, well, only confessing sins is not adequate. Do you know where is Christ? Christ now abides and lives in you. So you do have the anointing abiding you. You do not need many people to teach you many things. You know, this, there must be a background. At that time, there are all kinds of teachings, all kinds of declarations. We got the high revelation. We know what the Lord is doing. We understand what God, how God moves. Then eventually, all these teachings causing the sins to be very frustrated. He said, you do not need many people teach you many things, but the anointing will always direct you to Christ. Brother, isn't that marvelous? When we talk about individual sins, he concluded as a conclusion of the whole Bible in such a simple way. Brothers, as individual, you are sinful. Yet brothers, as individual, you are so blessed. You are sinful, confess your sin. You are so blessed because anointing comes from God that abides in you. You do not need man to teach you many things, but the anointing teach you all things, which means the anointing will direct you to the living person, Christ. Amen. Dear brother, more than this, then he concluded in a simple way about the church life. Actually, you must realize this is a conclusion of the Bible. Because after 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, there's no more epistles. This was written the last, even later than Revelations. In 1st John, he said, let me talk with you about the church life. Don't get so confused. Actually, nobody knows anything. Could you believe in this? The concluding word is, everybody do not know what they are doing. So he said, My children, I write to you, from the older one to the youngest, to the oldest to the youngest, from the seniors to the junior to junior, whatever that is, my English is poor. But anyway, everyone, let me tell you, all of you, do you realize you are all children? My children, I wrote to you because your sin has been forgiven. Could you believe? If you write me a letter, Titus, I'm so thankful that your sin has been forgiven. I will be offended to the uttermost. What are you talking about? I've been the Lord over 50 years. I labored. I fight. I struggled. I give message. I serve. But John says, oh, my boy, sit down. You get overexcited. You are 70, but in my presence, you are still a child. I am 90-something. At my age, I really know the truth. Let me tell you what's the truth. You all are babies. Not babies. You all are children. Don't boast. We know. We see. There's no such thing. Eventually, at the end of the epistle, the Apostle John says, my children, I wrote to you because your sins are forgiven. But among the children, there are three classes. Well, that's complicated. In other words, they're all kids, but some are senior high. Some are junior high. Some are in elementary school. Maybe I go too much. Some are junior high, some are elementary school, some are in nurseries. Maybe that's the right statement. I don't believe eventually come to the age of John, he would even care who knows what. This one says, I got a letter from Paul. That one says, I got a letter from Thomas. That one says, I got a letter from what. That one says, I know the revelation because God's oracles with brother so-and-so. John says, forget about this nonsense, brothers. Let me tell you, Christ must be your experience. And let me tell you, you are a sinner. And let me tell you, as a sinner, you are so blessed because Christ now as anointing abides in you to lead you to Christ. Then concerning the church life, no one should be proud. No one should assume. No one should assume they know anything. Concerning the church life, let me tell you, my children, you all are kids. Is that English? You are kids, not kitty. Kitty is a cat, right? Kids is a man, okay. You all are kids. Almost I say you are kiddies. But anyway, you all are kids. You are babies. You are young. The most you are junior high. So let me tell you what you have. Huh? Remember first, don't brag. Don't boast. Don't assume. Don't declare. Don't assume thinking you are somebody. You know something. Let me tell you, you are a child and your sin, praise the Lord, has been forgiven. Oh, how precious this. Brother, how precious this. If every time I come to the Lord's presence, the first thought was not, oh, how I'm going to handle this conference, how I'm going to write the outline, how I'm going to give message. The first thing I saw come to my spirit is that, thank you, Lord, I'm still a sinner. How good that is. I'm still a sinner. And my sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord for this. Then he said, oh, junior hires. Junior hire means the elders. Right? Oh, junior hires means the elders. Elders, the fathers. Now, he used the word fathers, not the elders. Fathers, I wrote to you because, oh, that's getting serious. You know why? Because eventually, after I've been in the church life around or over 50 years, I found out I cannot find many fathers. I found many faithful doers, but not many fathers. You know what marks a father? Is I wrote to you, Father, because you know the one from the beginning. Am I right or not? Sorry, this just come to my mind. I should have read it. Who are the father? I know the Lord. There's no truth involved. There's no teaching involved. There's no riches involved. It's just very simple. If there are some riches, if there are some teaching, if there are some truths, they must direct me to the Lord. Amen. Father, I wrote to you because you know the one from the beginning. Amen. Then, elementary schoolers, that means young men. I'm happy. Here are three young men. I'm happy today. Many stand up who are under 30. Well, isn't that encouraging? But, brother, remember, we have meeting like this for many years now. Seems always young people come in, older ones move away. So maybe you will be the one next conference disappeared. You better tell the Lord, Lord, keep me. This young man, I wrote to you. Why? Because you are strong. Amen. Young men are strong. And the word abides in you. You have the divine word. Then more than that, not the riches, but the word. Something alive, organic, spoken by God in you. And more than that, you do not love the world. You know, brother, how marvelous the Apostle John conclude the situation. He began to say, so many going on. Oh, let me tell you, what is a local church? A local church is a constitution of children, including children 70 years old like Titus, including children 17 years old like you. But we all are children. Among the children, there are some junior hires. You know what's good about junior higher? They know, as American, they know how to sing. How beautiful and... No. You have your... I forgot how they know how to... Yeah, you have a song for Americans, right? How do you sing that one? Huh? You see? Junior higher know how to sing this song. Nursing students, they don't. In other words, Christians know how to do this song. How beautiful and trustworthy to my Father God and thou. They stick to Christ. They stick to the Lord. Then how about the young man? Young man says, we are filled with energy. We are strong. We have the word abiding us. And we do not love the world. Then what? Then he says, they're also nursery, the kids who are in kindergarten. Oh, then he said, young children, a group of children composed of fathers, young men, and young children. He said, young children, I wrote to you because what? Can anyone read for me? Sorry. If I speak in Chinese, I think I can do well. Once come to English, I need a translation. It's getting... Because what? You know the Father. In other words, hey, look at me. Don't look at him. Young children, you know what should you do? I know the Father. Don't you see how beautiful that is? I know the Father means I know how to escape to the Father. I know how to enjoy the riches of the Father. I know how to enjoy, abide in the love of the Father. With me, no demand, no requirement. I must do this. I should do that. No, nothing of this. I only know, oh, my Lord Jesus is so beautiful, so lovely, so enjoyable, so rich, and I love him. I like to go to him. Father is a blesser, is a source, is a supplier, is the one provide you all the riches. Do you realize how marvelous the Bible concludes? Now if I go slower, I think I better redo it. The work of the Lord, you know, here is the ascension. Here is the ascension of Christ. Then the Spirit come down. When the Spirit come down, the first one the Lord raised up was Peter with the other 11 apostles. Am I right? Then there is a producing of the church in Jerusalem. Oh, that must be marvelous. Don't you admire? Don't you desire to be at a time like that? I wish I were born 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. So I can be with the brothers day in, day out, enjoy each other, living, eating from house to house, breaking the bread, praising God. Isn't that marvelous? So quickly, right after such a great work of the Spirit, Lord calls James, which is the brother of John, right? The brother of John, James. Maybe I write down here, huh? John, John's brother. Lord raised up James to be martyred. Okay, so he is quite unique, huh? Not many people will have the blessing as James martyred. Then Lord raised up, I wouldn't say Lord raised us, the Lord allowed, how about that? Another James. He's a peculiar James, sorry, huh? He's a writer of the Bible, so I better be polite. But anyway, another James, this is a brother of Jesus. You know, Jesus' apostles know him very well. So when the Lord was on the earth, appointing the 12 apostles, he wouldn't put James there. And when in the four Gospels, you don't quite see James. But quickly, James come up with all kind of stories nobody ever heard from. I was with Jesus. How Jesus changed my diaper. Well, don't think it's a small thing. You think about it, Jesus changed your diaper, if there were a diaper at that time. But anyway, I was a baby. Jesus is my older brother. how Jesus took me out and played with me, how we spent time together, how this Jesus, even his childhood, is filled with wisdom. Oh, he gave us a story. I think all the saints, you know, people are funny. Anything written public, you are not interested. Anything, if the brother tells you something, in the room, so-and-so told me what. Also, we are funny people. We are funny people. But anyway, we can tell the Lord we're funny, but we are chosen. We're waiting to grow. Am I right? So then this James come up. This James come up with a reason. Now, think about it. Peter raised up church in Jerusalem. One time was 3,000. One time was 5,000 saved, right? And daily were added in to them. So there got to be multi-thousand of saints in one city. And they don't, they don't just come together. They come together every day. And they eat, enjoy from house to house. Isn't that marvelous? And isn't that messy? If you try to think about it, I tell you, I wish I were born there at that time. I'm so thankful I wasn't with them. I'm pretty sure many brothers every day enjoy Christ. Hallelujah, here I come. The brother come here to eat. Now, why don't you go to work? I don't think I need to work anymore. I just eat from house to house. Don't you believe so? Don't you think about 3,000 or 30,000 people, everyone will be in spirit, work very hard, taking care of others? I don't believe so. I believe the church life parts were pretty messy. Then James, the brother of Jesus, came in, said, well, wait a minute. We got to be too messy. We better unify ourselves. Think about it. Even Jesus, number one, I know Jesus more than you all do. Stan, am I right? Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to see you. Don't you believe? James will say this to Peter. Peter, I like to see you. He's a powerful person. And very godly person. So I better be careful. Peter says what? You know, Peter, the way you lead is not the way Jesus leads. Peter says, why? Everything's according to the Spirit. No. Remember this. Number one, I was with Jesus. Let me tell you all the little story he told me. Isn't that overpowering? If someone tell me, I was with brother so-and-so in the little room, and he told me this and that. Isn't that scary to you? And secondly, he says, wait. You don't practice what Jesus practiced. Jesus, 3 times a year, came to Jerusalem. Jesus keeps the Sabbath. Do you? I think Peter was possibly sitting there, you know. Oh, James, you like to see me? Praise the Lord. What do you have to say? Well, something of Jesus. Yeah. Something of Jesus. Eh? Did Jesus keep Sabbath? Yeah. No, why don't you? Yeah. Quickly, James took over the leadership of the church in Jerusalem. Could you believe in that? And quickly, the Peter become a different Peter. Don't think things are that simple. Remember the first Peter? When he was in jail, the angel come, release him. Remember? He walk out and preach right at the what? In the tabernacle. In the temple, preach right over there, declare Jesus is the Lord. Where they were considering how to kill him. The second time, angel also came. Also released him. But he was so persecuted by James. Sorry. In the eternity, of course, it doesn't matter anymore. But anyway, if you don't believe what I say, you better ask Peter, how come 2 times angel came to release you from the prison. First time you were such an overcomer. Second time, you almost can't even believe it. Persecution caused people, purging caused people to abase themselves. people keep on telling you, you are nothing, you're worth nothing, you don't know anything, you need to be trained more, you need to be eventually, oh, yeah, I don't know anything. I tell you, purging is not a small thing. So the second time, the angel came and take Peter out. Peter thought, I don't believe I'm worthy for the God to send the angel to release me. But there got to be a vision. When he finally was released, see the difference. The first time he was released, he was so bold, right? The second time he was released, he became a chicken. He went to Mark's home, remember? And he knocked at the door and tell the brothers, well, I don't know what's happened. Surely it's a miracle. I came out of prison now. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, I don't go to the temple to preach. I'm going to escape for my life. What a chicken Peter. Isn't he chicken now? I can't believe it. The first time, so bold. The second time, so timid. The first time, so aggressive. The second time, so bashful, backward. Why? Because first time Peter raised up the church, God is with him, he was very strong, but possible he's too young to handle the church with 30,000. How many thousand? It's just too young, right? So eventually, James come in. You don't know what to do? Let me tell you. Let's do exactly what Jesus did. Think about it. Brother, you understand what I say? No, nothing can be more right than do exactly what Jesus did, right? So the first question, is Jesus circumcised? Yeah, so we all need to be circumcised. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Yeah, so we all need to keep Sabbath. Did Jesus do this and that? So, yeah, we all need to do this and that. So quickly, the whole church turned to be under the law. And hallelujah, everybody works finally. So everybody realized now, we got to get a job. And I believe even their Christian living become higher in standard. But at the same time, the whole church become a source of degradation. Christ is no longer there. The spirit cannot be free. The spirit cannot lead. Even the leader do not trust in the spirit anymore. Even Peter do not trust it anymore. So at this time, the Lord raised up another apostle Paul. We're thankful for that, right? You know, now you can see a beautiful picture. Here is Jerusalem, totally under law, totally improper. Yet at the same time, many people from Jerusalem fully believe, they call themselves, they are the men of James. We are one with James' ministry. We are from the household of James. Even though James be much more spiritual than they are. So every place they go, they try to convince people, you need to be circumcised, you need to keep the Sabbath, you need to keep the law, you need to live a life under the principle in the Old Testament, so you should become a branch of Jewish religion. So Paul came in. Praise the Lord for that. God would say, okay. Everyone that is from the old setting doesn't work. Let me raise up someone new. So God raised up the Apostle Paul. So now, if you read Peter's road, Peter go here, and of course they go different directions, and Paul go here to Europe. Am I right? So eventually, global-wise, the gospel was preached. There will be so many local churches raised up through the laboring of Apostle Peter, through the laboring of Apostle Paul with his co-workers, and through the laboring of the other 11 apostles, and through the laboring of many servants of the Lord. So come to AD 60-some. Paul was in prison, but he's still able to write these rich epistles. Am I right? And he was released shortly, and according to some of historians, in the duration of him being released, possibly just 1 or 2 years, he went all the way, preached gospel to Spain. You know, brothers, so he finished what the Lord has told him. I preach gospel to the uttermost part of the globe, of the earth. So he did whatever he did. Then, eventually, at AD 70, that is a big thing, huh? AD 70, the Apostle Paul martyred. The Apostle Peter martyred. And James martyred. So all these great servants of the Lord, one by one, are martyred for Christ. So there's a vacant. Now you understand what I say, right? So there's a vacant. In this vacant, the Lord raised up Apostle John. That's the last one. Lord raised up Apostle John in such a marvelous way. He stressed on himself. He stressed on the local churches. He stressed on God's economy. Then he stressed on subjective experience of Christ. You see, in the Epistle of John, he began in such a marvelous way. He said, well, I don't want to tell you much. Neither can I tell you much. Because everything was spoken by the Apostle Paul already. You read Apostle Paul, his revelation became unique and complete. Even he said, I fulfill and complete the word of God. Am I right? And everything is backed up by Peter already. Apostle Paul is filled with divine revelation. Apostle Peter, in his two epistles, is filled with the humanity of Jesus to live out the divine revelation. The revelation Apostle Paul gives must be lived out through the teaching of Apostle Peter in the humanity of Jesus Christ. You know, brother, isn't that marvelous? So Apostle John would say, everything is done. Everything done. So now, let me tell you all. It's more like a man. A man, when they grow up in the early year, younger than you, they were like you. But you are a girl. You three are girls. If three boys, I'll point them more. You know, like you, what? I'm young. I'm hopeful. I'm powerful. I will fight. I have a life to live. Then you, young sister, 55, 60 years later, you'll be like me. An old man. Old man, Chinese have a saying, huh? Eventually, you go from all the blossoming back to normality. A 70-year-old man is very normal. No ambition. No desire. No desire even to set up anything. If we labor because the Lord has told us to do. Do you get my point or not? Not as when I was young. I want to raise up local churches. Now I say, okay, let me tell you. I will tell you the word of life from the beginning. I don't have a lot of teachings, but I surely have a Christ to give to you. But my Christ is life. And my Christ is the word of life. The life that gives according to, operates according to God's economy. And this very life, I tell you, I have seen, I have heard, I have handled, I have focused on, and my hand have touched. I tell you, they are so subjective to me. I don't tell you doctrines. I have no doctrine. I don't give you teachings. I have no teaching. I have no outline even. You say, well, what are you talking about? Here you have outline. But this outline is not outline. If you read it, you know, well, what kind of outline is this? Well, these outlines tell you how to see the Lord, how to touch the Lord, how to focus on the Lord, how to enjoy the Lord, how to hear the Lord, eventually how to handle the Lord. I handle my Christ. He says, therefore I fellowship. In my fellowship, there's no teaching. In my fellowship, everything is focused with this living person, Christ, and my only desire is also bring you into such experiences. I have no knowledge to give to you. But I have a living Christ to give it to you. You must enjoy this living Christ. You know, brother, if you read John's writing, firstly was Revelation, right? In Revelation, you have Christ. In Revelation, you have local churches. In Revelation, you have God's economy. And then in Revelation, you have New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Am I right? This is Revelation. The whole book, chapter 1, Christ. Chapter 2 and 3, local churches. Chapter 4 on, God's economy. Chapter 21, 22, the New Jerusalem. Do you get my point? Then he said, after Revelation, he wrote epistles, 1 John especially, 1 John. He said, in 1 John he said, do you know Christ for you is for you to experience. Christ is for you to apply. So now, this Christ must be so subjective to you. Now number two, you must know you. Who are you? You are on one hand a sinner. On the other hand, a vessel to contain the treasures. There is a treasure in this your earthen vessel. We see you, there is the anointing. The anointing now abides in you. Then he talk about the church life. You know, brother, no one can speak of the church life better than the Apostle John. This is why Brother Lee had a statement. He said, the revelation of the Apostle John is ahead Apostle Paul. Years ago, when I listened to what he said, I was so shocked. Because I remember one day, we were walking. You see, these are stories you like to hear because it's in the small doors, right? And we're walking together, and then Brother Lee tell me, oh, Apostle Paul is great. Apostles are great. He has some habit, you know. Let me tell you some of his habit. He says, Apostle great. Wow, the revelation. Oh, the revelation. He, have you ever heard him? If you heard this, you are very close to him. If you never heard it, he's very distant with you. He said, the revelations. Oh, the revelations. Well, then eventually he said, Apostle John is above, higher than Apostle Paul. Oh, that bothers me. Don't that bother you? You think there's a book higher than Ephesians? You think there's a book higher than Galatians? You think anyone could write something above these great apostles? No way. But there's a big but. But Paul, John would say, no, I have no intention to compete with Paul. I just tell you, you can read all the epistles, but you have never seen him. You have never heard him. You have never touched him. You have never handled him. You have never focused on him. Brother, all these epistles will mean nothing to you. Any message that is good, the message must bring you to Christ. Amen. Any teaching that is good, the very teaching must bring you to Christ. Amen. Right? Any kind of what riches from any ministry, the rich ministry must bring you to Christ. The rich ministry is for you to hear Christ, to see Christ, to touch Christ, to focus on Christ, even to handle Christ. By that, you will know what kind of person you are. I like this. If you ask me, Titus, what kind of person are you? I say, an honorable sinner. You say, wow, on the globe, there's no such term. If you're honorable, you're honorable. If you're a sinner, you're a sinner. I say, according to my first birth, I'm just a sinner. According to my second birth, I'm more than honorable. That's how I call born again, right? When I was born again with my second birth, do you know what happened to me? I become a son of God. Amen. Within me, there is a divine anointing. Bring me to the living Christ. I'm more than that. He said, oh, no. You are in the church life. Oh, what a sweet church life. No one boasts anything. No one assumes anything. No one even dare to say, I got it, I see it. You know why? Because we all are children. I like this. You know, brother, I read the Bible many times. And I'm with a rich brother, Brother Lee, many times. I basically read all the writings of Watchman Nee, basically, not really, basically. Am I right? So I'm a rich person. You go to my library, you'll say, wow, Titus, how can you read all these books? And then I'll tell you, many of them were put there just to let you see it. He says, why you do it? Well, study is for ornament. Well, don't laugh at me. You try to pick up the books to your library. All the books will be wrong books. Come to my library. All the books are good books. So just that ability is good enough. But anyway, no matter how much you can say, I read the Bible many times. I read, you know, okay, here's a recovery version. You see, they're falling apart, you see? You see? Are you able to read the Bible, make the Bible fall apart? Shouldn't I boast? Look at the notes. But, Paul, John would say, oh, my children, I write to you because your sins are forgiven. Don't be so happy, but I see this and that. Be happy about your sins are forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? Is your sin forgiven? Is your sin forgiven? Is there anything bother you? If you say, no, nothing bother you. I'm so thankful to the salvation of my marvelous Christ. Lord, all my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Then secondly, he said, among all these forgiven people, fathers, I wrote to you. Because you know the one from the beginning. In other words, you know God's economy. You know Christ. And you know how to lay hold on Christ. Do you realize what's our problem today? Many times we go to too many things rather than the one who is from beginning. There are not many fathers have that ability to say, I insist on the one who is from beginning. Then, hallelujah, in the church life, there are many, many young men. Sister, is your dad here? Is he here? Ken? Where are you? Oh, yeah, Ken. Sorry, huh? I just got a note from you yesterday, which you wrote 2-3 years ago. You gave... It's not my fault. Huh? You gave to someone to give it to me, and that person forget about it. And I saw that yesterday. I was so touched. I was very touched by the notes he wrote. I'm willing to give up everything for Christ. I'm willing to give up even my job for Christ. You know, brother, it's very touching. Brother, do you know that? Even though you're older now, even your daughter is that old now, you can still be considered as a young man. I'm a young man. I'm strong. What is good? Number one, I have the word of God abiding me. Amen. Number two, I do not love the world. Yeah, overcome the evil one. Well, should we spend more time on this or come to message one? I'm in trouble. You know, you do not love the world. Let me ask you, what are the world? What is the world? Or what are the world? You know, you have three parts. Okay, once I got this, message one is over. Because it takes us some time, huh? Message once over. But anyway, he said, you do not love the world. You have overcome the world. Then he said, do not love the world, neither the things of the world. If you love the world in any way, the love of the Father is not abiding in you. What are the world, huh? Think about you. Yeah. You are with body, soul, and spirit, right? With body, soul, and spirit, to your physical body, there is the sinful world. Sinful world, huh? To your soul, there is material world. To your spirit, there is a religious world. Oh, don't think the world are simple. The three worlds there. matching your three parts. Do not love the world. To your physical body, do not love sinful world. This time, I was in mainland China. The government tried to show me their appreciation, which is surprising. Really, they don't have to. So they invite me for a rich feast. And the chief of religion of a large entity says, old Mr. He wouldn't call me Brother Chu. He said, old Mr. Chu, Zhu Lao Xianzheng, please sit in the first honorable seat. So I said, no. Please sit there. He said, no. I'm the accompany you. Please sit there. So I sit in honorable seats. Then the waitress opened a bottle of wine. Very normal, right? He can pour. I'm the first one. Pour my. I say just a little. So just a little. Then come the next one. That is the chief of the bureau. That's a big stuff. Big official. I say put more. He put more. Then others are brothers. Little less. Then to the head of a department of foreign affairs. I say that one you can put more, because he's not a Christian either. Table full of Christians with only two high officials. So then he says, let's drink, let's toast. You know, in my life, I have never toasted. I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. I hold it up. I'm very thankful. There's so little in the bottom, right? So they all drink. I touch the cup. I put it down. So I didn't know. I didn't touch a little. Brother, I was thinking, even that day, I didn't do well. But with Lord's mercy, if I do well, I just then. Come on, chief. We will become good friends. Then the gospel will be preached very easy. But be careful. Come on. A few times, you become alcoholic. There is something as a world ready to snatch you, to take you. Do you get my point or not? Then, by Lord's mercy, majority of us are out of the sinful world, but not out of the temptation of the sinful world. You get it or not? The sinful world is always there tempting you. You just lie a little bit, you will have a much better life. You know what I mean? You just enjoy this a little bit. Even that day, I hold the cup. My feelings, I know what to do. Just relax a little bit, I'll be their friends. They will say, wow, this preacher is very different with others. He's very human. Fallen human, but human, right? He's very human. You know, brother, young girls, do you know what is waiting ahead of you? Sinful world. Well, I'm not joking. You go back to school. Are you in school? You go back. Everything they talk is in the sinful world. Do you get my point now? Who is related to whom? Who did what to whom? How they irritate the teacher? How they even what? And get the principal, put the principal in trouble? How they do everything? But sinful world's not that fearful because so clear. If I tell you, young girl, go to Las Vegas and gamble. Even you want to do, you won't do it in my presence. I'll say, well, Brother Titus, I don't gamble. If you do it, you do it hiddenly. Because the sinful world. There's a material world. You know, the whole United States is taken over by a guy riding a horse, cast out demons, called Polo. Don't you think that is a mark? That brand? Yeah, it's just, every time I look at it, I think somebody chase out demons. You know, riding a horse, chase out demons, you know. Polo. And I don't know how many polos are in this room. For some reason, if you have a shirt, that is polo. Give me this. You see, this morning I come. Let me see if it's there. Oh, no, it's not here. So it doesn't work. This morning I come because I fly a lot, right? I see a hat. Then I say, oh, Nike. Isn't this Nike? That's expensive, right? Supposed to be, at least. Nike! You know, brother, we are funny people. Let me ask you, a hat is a hat. Whether it's a mark like this or a mark like this, what difference does that make? But Nike. Oh, Lord Jesus. Material world. I tell you, the physical world, sinful world, is not that afraid. You don't have to be that afraid of. Because you know it. People say, let's gamble. No. Let's live improperly. No. Let's do something evil. No. Let's rob someone. No. Let's steal from someone. No. But the material world, oh, there's a big sale by Polo. I don't know how the English says. 20% off, is that high or low? Huh? Nothing. 80% off. Brother, this is a Labor Day. All the stores are having a clear-up sale. You go to what market, and they are 80% off. Wow, everyone. How about the meeting? Or later. How about Christ? Don't talk about it. How about the Lord? Forget about it. How about, no. Let me get what I want first, then praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My sins are forgiven. Yes, your sins are forgiven. But how about the anointing? How about the anointing? Don't just take one point. Take both. How about the anointing? But most fearful is a religious world. Sinful world relate to your body. Mature world is relate to your psychology, relate to your soul. And the religious world is relate to your deepest part of your being. Everyone has a spirit. Every Jesus lover would try to find something in their spirit. Very few understand. Now, what is a religious world? You have the things relate to your spirit, yet without giving you the living Christ. Only Christ is not the world. You know, in my spirit, I gain Christ. Then, brother, we're fine. Let me give you another illustration. I was in one city this time. The Lord's Day morning, there's nothing to do. So I talked with the hotel person. I said, I like to go to a church. He said, we just built one. We just built one. Big one. I give you the address. So I take a taxi there. Nobody's there. A few men in the front. I say, well, you don't have a meeting? Oh, no, we don't. We are the 7 day. Yeah, every Saturday. He says, our gathering is on Saturday, and we are what? So I said, well, can you give me the phone number or address of some real Christians? Was true, right? And the young man was somewhat offended. But the old man was nice. He said, oh, yeah. I know some Christian groups, so they gave me some number. So I find the address. I get the taxi. I drive over. And I walk in. Wow, it was impressive. They have a hall not as big as this one, but it's all full. Then they have a big yard. They start from the front, you know. Field front, then field the second, field the back, corner. Eventually, whole property is saturated with people. No empty seats, not even one. There must be 10, 15 TVs for people to listen to the message. Well, isn't that impressive? So I find the seats. Or I stand there, I forgot now. No, they weren't very nice to me. Yeah, because they saw that I'm from America or Taiwan, so they say, we'll get you to the front or something. I say, no. I may leave early. So I got the seats. They found the seats for me. I sit down. They gave a message on what? Let me see. Don't worship your ancestors, but worship God, which is a truth, according to truth, you know. By a lady, he did pretty well. The whole meeting I was there, I just had a feeling. Everything's good. Everything is good. Everything's marvelous. Look at all the faces. You know what? The way they listen, the way they focused. The only thing that is short a little, not totally void of, but short a little, is Christ. Where is the Lord? So I went to their book sale. I see a lot of Morgans translated. I said, do you sell these books? He says, yes. I said, well, I said, they're very deep. He says, oh, we sell a lot. I'm surprised. You know, I find something by different brothers, some I know, I heard before, I read before. So I bought some books, I left, I went to another church. That was interesting. Another sister conducting the meeting, praising God, hallelujah. Then afterward, another sister came in, a sister leading the song. Another sister come in, conduct the meeting. Afterward, another sister come in, give a message. The whole gathering, all the men are, I don't know what's happened. I think men may be looking after money and sisters looking after Christ. But anyway, the message is pretty good. You know, that Jesus casts out the demons whose name is Group. The demon's name is Group. You know, 2,000 hugs, right? Legion. Name is Legion, right? So he gave a message how the Lord casts out demons. I look at it. Against field, upstairs, downstairs, filled with people. And every room is filled with people, small rooms. I don't know how many TVs were there. There got to be 20, 30 TVs. I just had a feeling, Lord Jesus, everything's here. But where is Christ? Everything's here. I can taste a little of Christ. I couldn't say there's no Christ. Let's be fair. There's some Christ there. But you just realize, you know, it's too easy for us to do spiritual things. And with the spiritual things, spiritual riches, spiritual practices, spiritual habits to replace the living Christ. Do you get my point or not? Then you got into spiritual world. You know, Apostle John told the young man, oh, young man, you are strong. You overcome the world. Then he said, do not love the world and the things of the world. Don't love sin. Don't love Polo and Nike. And don't love even just to listen to a message. You must have the living Christ. Amen. Don't love the world and the things of the world. Anything you love in the three categories. I love sinful things. I love material things. I love religious things. Anything you love. The love of the Father is no longer abide in you. You know, eventually John concluded the local church life in such a sweet way. Oh, in the local church life, we all grow. How about that? And in the local church, we all grow up together. And in the growth, the Father knows the one who is from beginning. So they stick. They insist on God's economy. Young men fight for the Lord's testimony by overcoming the things of the world. Either the sinful world or material world, even what? The religious world. Then, what? The little children who are the baby, right? John says, Apostle says, I wrote to you, for you know the Father. You know how to receive blessings. Let me ask you, young girl, do you know the Father? Let me ask, you are a little bit older. You should be a young man. Let me ask you, you. Where are you from? Detroit? Okay, you are from Detroit. Do you know the Father? You know your physical father, right? What do you do to him? I tell you, you will say this. With my physical father, I have a place to stay. I have food to eat. I have the clothes I need. I even have a way to Sinai. You know what a Sinai is? I don't know how to say that in English. What is that? None of them know. You know the kids go to dad. Dad. Don't you do that? Don't you do that? If you don't, you are not a good daughter. A good daughter go to dad. Dad, I love you. Dad, I need a Nike. Well, you know the father. The father may tell you, well, the Lord has not given us the money, so we can't afford Nike, but I can give you a hat. But the father, right? Have you ever go to God or Father? One day you hold God. Oh, God, I really love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, God, I need something. Do you know that? Or every time you begin to pray, you pray, oh, our Heavenly Father. You push God away. You know what is the chosen in the church life? We need so many children. Even today, as an old man, I need to be before God sometime as a chosen. God, I know. Please, do something. And God says, no, I won't do it. God, do something. Do a little. How about a little? Just God. Oh, don't look down at that. You know, in the church life, you need to grow. From a young children to a young man to a father. And yet, even you become a leader in the church life, you still have to say, we are children. Amen. This is why the Apostle John says, my children, I wrote to you. You know, brother, why John come to this? Now you see the whole picture. A lot has happened. A lot been through. Lord has raised up Peter. Lord has martyred, allowed James to be martyred. Lord allowed James to come in to assume the leadership. Lord raised up Apostle Paul. And with all the happenings, with all the epistles, with all the declarations, with all the things happens, John came back and eventually said, well, dear ones, can you be so simple? Lay hold on, only on Christ. Amen. You only know the one. You only know the Lord. You only enjoy the Lord. You know you, and you know the church life. You know the Lord. You know you, and you know the church life. That is the conclusion of the whole Bible. May Lord have mercy. I think I shared enough, even though I didn't cover the outline. Is that okay? It's a good beginning. Thank you. Huh?